If your passion lies in elite British road racing and you want an inside line on the teams, riders, organisers and sponsors that make this sport such a compelling spectacle, you're in the right place. I'm Timothy John, and joining me for every episode is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Phil Jones.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. We're going to use this platform to talk about all the key issues surrounding the sport. With special guests, deep dives into hot topics and plenty of chat, we'll keep you informed about all things UK racing. Stay tuned.
Hello and welcome to a new series of the Brother UK Cycling Podcast. And what better way to start than by previewing the new season. Now, despite the rigours of COVID and a challenging economic climate, elite British road racing is in a fairly healthy state. The Tour Series has begun, and on Sunday we'll see the 65th edition of the Lincoln Grand Prix. All of the time-honoured spring races went off. The Tour Series, as we say, is underway. We'll have 8 rounds this year of the National Road Series, 5 rounds of the National Circuit Series for men, 3 for women, the Women's Tour, the Tour of Britain, and the National Road and Time Trial Championships. Brother UK, well, we'll be at the sports side again in 2022 in the form of our sponsored teams, Brother UK Orientation Marketing and Brother UK LDN, our sponsored races, the Women's Tour and the Tour of Britain, our sponsored athletes, the hill climbers, Adam Kenway and Rebecca Richardson, and of course, the neutral service powered by Brother UK in-race support crews. Joining me today to talk about everything that's going to happen in 2022 in terms of elite British road racing is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Phil Jones. Phil, good to see you again.
Hi, Tim. It's so good to be back and brilliant to also go and see some crit racing and some road racing.
Let's dive straight in, shall we? We're recording this on Tuesday, May the 3rd, a day after the opening round of the Tour Series in Gisborough. Both of our sponsor teams, Brother UK Orientation Marketing and Brother UK London, were in the heart of the action in a scintillating women's race. Victory went to Sophie Lewis of Cams Basso, who held off a two-pronged assault from Pro Noctis in the form of runner-up Joe Tindley, who of course is the reigning British circuit race champion, and her teammate Lucy Elmore, who a couple of days earlier had won the Oakenclough Road Race. The men's race, well, that was a similarly enthralling affair, a dominant display there from with Sun God, who got a 1-2 finish with Thomas May and Matt Bostock. And interestingly, you know, the pair led from flag to flag. And, you know, we'll touch on that a bit later in this episode. Just what is the tactic for Gisborough? Phil, let's kick things off by talking about the women's race, shall we? I mean, that was some race.
Oh, yes. I mean, some fantastic riding on display there. I mean, clearly Jo Tindley from the gun was showing her strength as the national crit champion. She just went straight out from the blocks, really intent to show her speed, her skill. And I thought, yeah, the race looks like it's Jo's. But obviously Sophie Lewis had other plans and she was able to ride with Jo. And I thought it would just basically come down to the two of them. But two impressive rides on the night for me, obviously, other than Joe and Sophie, was I thought Lucy Elmore did a brilliant job to bridge across. I didn't think she'd make that gap, but she did. Lucy Elmore from Pro Noctis, Joe's teammate. So she went over to that leading bunch, and obviously the three of them went to the line where ultimately Sophie won in the sprint straight down Gisborough High Street there. But special mention to Sammy Stewart. You may not see from the TV highlights, but I had a message from Sammy this morning on Instagram just letting me know she actually had a chain off on the first corner. She basically dropped about 30 seconds, which was almost the gap between where the first three went over the line and where Sammy ended up. So I think the clue there is that Sammy definitely is a contender for future rounds of the Tour Series. But yeah, really, really great race. Really enjoyed it.
Well, I didn't know. I've got to say that Sammy had dropped her chain. I mean, that makes that ride all the more impressive. To finish fourth, you know, set the fastest lap of the race. Well, chapeau, Sammy. I mean, just while we're talking about Pro Noctis, Phil, how do you think the team will process that result? It reminded me a little bit of Het Nieuwsblad back in 2015. I don't know if you remember when Ian Stannard was on Sky and he outwitted, you know, three guys from Quickstep in Tom Bonan, Nicky Terpstra, Vandenberg, I think was the other one, you know, three heavyweight riders. And that caused a bit of a scandal in the Belgian sports press. I mean, hats off to Sophie Lewis from Cams Basso, but, you know, wouldn't Pro Noctis have thought they had victory in the bag there? are they going to look back on it and think, yeah, that was an opportunity missed, or will they be consoled by having won the team competition?
I think probably if you're running the team and we got two riders out in a bunch of three, you're probably expecting to take the win, and all credit for Sophie there in that sprint. I mean, it was very, very close run. So yes, I'm sure the team might be thinking maybe that win was there for the taking, but you know, we've got a number of rounds effectively now, seven rounds upon which to figure out the entire team championship. And always good to remember that the Tour Series is really a team event. And on the night, what I will say is a very clever ride by Pro Noctis, just to give their sponsors their full credit here, because remember, it is Pro Noctis Rota Red Chili Bikes, presented by Heidi Kledson, I think, or Yeldson. So credit to all the sponsors there. I hope we all got that right, because nothing more irritating when the sponsor's in the title and doesn't get a mention. But in reality, they picked up good points there fundamentally. So that means that they take the overall women's leaders jersey and Joe Tinley remains in the sprints leaders jersey. So I think that's a really good foundation for them to set themselves up for the whole Tour Series.
I mean, I don't know if I'm getting too carried away here, but you know, I wonder if Joe Tindley's ride, you know, last year to win the National Circuit Race title, has that set a new standard? I mean, she just rode away, didn't she, from the entire field in Lincoln and in Gisborough. You know, clearly she had the same idea. If she found Sophie Lewis more than equal to the challenge. And I got to say, you know, Lucy Elmore, she started life on Crimson Performance, you know, another brother sponsored team. She looked pretty comfortable getting across the gap from the peloton. And then she played a really solid team role for Joe. You know, all three of those riders absolutely railing the corners on what was a very technical course, a bit of a masterclass, if truth be told. And then Sammy, of course, you know, churning that huge gear, dieseling her way back into contention, basically riding a crit race like a time trial. I mean, we've had some great national circuit race champions in recent years, haven't we, in the shape of Bex Durrell, Anna Henderson, Katie Archibald, you know, Olympic champion, for goodness sake. But does it feel like the bar has been raised? Does women's crit racing look stronger than ever to you, Phil?
Without doubt. I mean, obviously, Jo is coached by Dean Downing, so she's absolutely on the top of her game. And obviously, she's riding in the National Crit Champions jersey. So that in itself gives you another 10 watts, doesn't it, in just that sense of achievement. And I'm sure other riders will be looking on the line when they see that jersey. You do not want that jersey riding away from you on the night, because you know that the individual wearing it has got the power, the capability, the skills, the competency, the training, the determination and the will to do that jersey justice. And I think Jo definitely did that by showing her intent to sort of boss the field fundamentally. I think we're probably going to see different winners for each round, because obviously the Tour Series, the beauty of it is each circuit is so different with different characteristics. I went to Gisborough last year, Tim, and I walked that circuit, and I think I figured out the code to how to win that race, which was effectively you go on the formation lap and there's almost a dead 90 degree turn as you come past the pits and you go down. There's a straight bit, but then there's this dead turn. So if you get all your riders on the front of that bunch, kind of block the road into that turn, you can have two ride off the front dead quick and literally create this gap. And I think what happened is Jo saw that, and also With Sun God saw that as well. And you look at what happened on the night. Both winners emerged really from lap one. And so the formation lap is critical for me for winning Gisborough. But on other rounds, it's not. So if you go to other rounds, the racing is far more open, far more fluid. So this is the beauty of this competition is that it requires three members of the team to get over that line to be scoring points to end up as the overall winner of the Tour Series at the end of it, which is the really big prize. That's the one all the teams are really heading for.
It's exciting, isn't it, Phil? Even just to talk about these races 24 hours after the event. I mean, what a brilliant start to the season proper. We've had the early spring races, and of course, they're vitally important. The Sowens, the Wally Gimber, the Jock Wadley, Colville, you name it. I mean, important and time-honoured races. But May feels like, you know, okay, now we've stepped up a gear. I was talking to Mark Botley the other day, manager of Brother UK Orientation Marketing, and he calls it manic May. And even by the standards of May, well, domestic races don't get any bigger than the Lincoln Grand Prix. It's arguably the only monument on the British calendar, although, you know, other people might challenge that. Beaumont Trophy, well, that started 4 years before Lincoln, back in 1952, and it's been held 68 times. The Cycle Classic, that more than justifies its nickname as Britain's Paris-Roubaix, but, you know, it can't match Lincoln's history. I mean, Lincoln really is a unique event, isn't it? It commands its own place on the calendar. Nothing quite like the Lincoln Grand Prix.
Yeah, you ask a lot of the riders, even riders have gone up to World Tour level from National. They all have generally got the Lincoln GP on their palmares as a former winner. I think it's a race that's held in very, very high regard. Certainly in the domestic scene, if you've won Lincoln, you are a very, very capable rider indeed. Because it's got everything, hasn't it? It's a long circuit. I mean, I've been on the circuit in the neutral service car actually a couple of years ago. And once you start going up that Michael Gate climb and you go up it the first time, you know, your legs hurt. But once you're going up it time after time after time, it's so attritional. So how that race develops in the second half is amazing. I did take my bike to Lincoln and thought I'd see how many times I can go up Michael Gate and just see how the legs fare. I think I went up it eight times. After the eighth time, I just thought, man, I was grinding up in my 34, 32 gear, what all the old gits have to ride. But to race up that climb, the Michael Gate, it's so technically difficult. The crowds are there. The cobbles are just horrible to climb on to get your traction. So things like tyre pressures and your bike setup are really, really important. And particularly in the latter stages of that race, it really just favour the person that can position well, leave their energy to the end in order they can put it out on the climbs. In the last couple of climbs of the Michael Gate tends to determine that race.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that writ large, didn't we, at last year's national championships. And you might even argue, you know, that the Lincoln Grand Prix, or the course at least, saved last year's nationals, which were delayed right to the end of the season by COVID. I mean, you'd have to ask yourself, who would have cared about the nationals if it wasn't on the course of the Lincoln Grand Prix? Of course, you know, nationals weekend, we got two absolutely brilliant races, Five of Georgie, you know, coming out of the mist and rain as a clear and deserving winner in the women's race. And, you know, that was a world-class field. And then Ben Swift, brilliant men's race, you know, defended his national title in a, you know, super attritional contest. Everybody fancying Ethan Hayter to, you know, claim his third title of the weekend. But, you know, it was the other Ineos rider. It speaks volumes for Hayter that we say that, that retained the title. Interesting to hear you mention, Phil, the neutral service powered by Brother UK in-race support crews. And of course, they'll be present and correct in Lincoln on Sunday for the men's race and for the women's race too. I mean, it's going to be fantastic. The Lincoln Grand Prix has everything, doesn't it? It's got history, grueling circuit, signature climb in the form of Michael Gate, city centre finish, thousands of people at the roadside. And, you know, the winners list is like no other British race. It's interesting, though, isn't it, Phil, that even the Lincoln Grand Prix, with all of that history, all of that prestige, is not exempt from the financial instability that we've seen threaten, you know, pretty much the whole of elite British road racing. Rafa stepped in a couple of years ago. And then, of course, you know, COVID happened. But Rafa is still on board. And Pro Noctis has stepped up to become the co-title sponsor. I think you know that story from the inside, don't you, Phil? You know Phil Kelly well.
Yeah, I just want to give massive kudos to Phil, because Phil has not only backed a women's team, obviously we've already mentioned that earlier in the pod today, Phil also stepped up and has put some money behind the title sponsorship of Lincoln GP, and I think that's absolutely brilliant. Certainly at a time when the sport is still really struggling to find new sponsorship money, to have somebody kind of put money into not just a team, but also a race too, I think is a really, really good thing. So a big call out here to Phil Kelly. You know, I think that's a great job that he's doing there. And also big shout out to the work that he's doing with Ed Clancy in their new joint venture, Pursuit Line. So you can find more about that on the web if you want to. But yeah, big kudos to Phil for backing the Lincoln GP in 2022.
I mean, it seems extraordinary, doesn't it, that a race with the history of the Lincoln Grand Prix might have financial problems. But, you know, it's not alone. Another cherished race, the Women's Cycle Classic, that came very close to ending even 5 or 6 weeks ago. Pete Stanton, a private individual who'd shown extraordinary generosity in funding the race thus far, Well, he'd withdrawn his contribution in a dispute with British Cycling rather than with the organisers of the Cycle Classic. But that meant that Colin Clues, the race founder and director, had to turn to crowdfunding. And, you know, thank goodness crowdfunding has saved the Women's Cycle Classic. But it does show, Phil, doesn't it, that the systemic problems of funding elite British road racing are still very much with us.
Regrettably, yes. And more importantly, let me first say well done to every single person that actually put some money into that crowdfunding campaign. I chucked a bit of money in myself because I just wanted to just see it happen, really. But clearly, Colin, back up against the wall, needed to raise some money very, very quickly. And crowdfunding was the answer. And he achieved a funding goal, more importantly, which is absolutely brilliant. Now, I'm not saying crowdfunding is the answer for every race organiser in the country. It might be, who knows? But in a sort of immediate and urgent situation that Colin found himself in, then definitely that was the right answer. And so at least we've got the addition of the race on, which is brilliant. But putting my business hat on for just one moment, we've talked about this in the past, that actually post-COVID, companies are in a very, very different place in terms of what their outlooks might be, how long those outlooks might be. Companies are having to cut costs wherever they can. There's massive inflationary environment for costs in business. And when those sorts of things happened, either demand comes down because of the cost of living crisis. There's so many interdependent parts that fundamentally the marketing budget is often the first place where the cuts begin to happen. And that means that the overall environment for sponsorship again becomes even tougher. And it's something that the sport needs to still try and solve. It really does. It's getting stuck in this cycle where the teams are sort of living on a shoestring budget, fundamentally, just about delivering their race program, and not having the time or resources to go and develop new relationships and new partnerships. And these things often don't happen overnight. Partnerships are developed over long periods. Relationships need to be built, rapport and trust established, you know, business models proven, etc. So, you know, more focus needs to go on that, particularly as we move into 2023, we do begin to emerge out of COVID. Basically, new money needs to come in somewhere, somehow.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Cycling has that endemic challenge, doesn't it? Realistically, you can't charge spectators at the roadside. And so sponsorship takes on a significance that frankly, it doesn't hold in stadium sports, for example. But, you know, fingers crossed for all our cherished races. I mentioned at the top of the episode that all of our traditional spring races went ahead this year, including the Eddie Cearns Memorial, whose own future was under threat a couple of years ago, but now happily seems to be on an even keel. Now, one trend, Phil, that we discussed off air was the recent emergence of these new and high quality National B races. The National Road Series calendar, all those National A races, you know, the Beaumont Trophy, the Lincoln Grand Prix, the Rydale Grand Prix, they seem to be set in stone, although, you know, unfortunately no Tour of the Reservoir this year. But the National B scene, you know, that at the moment that seems to be breeding lots of high quality events. But back in March, a new group, the Yomp Bonk Crew, staged the inaugural edition of the Peaks 2-day race for men and women, which, you know, was a huge success from what I hear. Cold Dark North, another comparatively new independent organisation, their Cape and Ray Road Race seems to go from strength to strength. Sammy Stewart had another great result there this year. She was third. I mean, that's got to give us some hope, hasn't it, Phil? You know, the National B, it seems to be offering high quality races at an affordable cost to the organiser.
Yeah, absolutely. I went along to the Eddie Sowin this year over Aintree. It's actually quite close to where I live. Again, shout out there to Brian Rigby. He was the guy that really stepped in. Brian actually used to work within our neutral service cars, actually. But Brian owns a haulage company and stepped in and kept the Eddie Sowins going when it was in some financial dire straits. So Brian was there again with his whole crew, loads of people from his company and volunteers to get the Eddie Sowins on. And a massive field, you know, an absolutely massive field. Obviously, that's a handicap system, that race. And kind of everyone goes off. So you've got all sorts of category riders, male, female. It's a very, very unique race. It was great to see it still on and so well supported. But I thought what was really interesting now is that a lot of the elite and UCI teams that we have in the UK are turning out more to the National Bs, fundamentally to get race form for the National A's, because they've got big teams nowadays. You know, a lot of the teams are a lot bigger than they were pre-pandemic, in my opinion, in terms of numbers of riders on the team. So they've got a little bit more capacity to put riders out to different races effectively. And no sponsor is going to turn down an image of a rider with their hands in the air at the end of the day, which can be used on social media. So I think as almost as part of a marketing strategy, it's not a bad thing either to have a few race wins in your bag, which you can shout about and peddle around to future sponsors.
Absolutely. I mean, Mark Botley, you know, we know him as the manager of Brother UK Orientation Marketing's women's squads, but he's also the organiser of the Tim James Memorial Race for men and the Witham Hall Race for junior and under 23 women. And Mark told me that, you know, a National B race pretty much attracts the same quality of field. He says that there aren't the same requirements around road closures. You don't need a start-finish gantry. You know, all of the nice-to-haves that are essential requirements for a National A race are just not part of the requirement for a National B. And so you can get a very high-quality field at a much lower cost.
Yeah, I get that. I really do. And perhaps the costs of putting on National A's is one of the challenges that the sport itself has got. We get stuck in this cycle, don't we, then, of having to raise funds to cover all of the road closures and all the various things that have got to be done in order to put that race on. So I think what we're all acknowledging at the moment is the sport is really at a point where it's not quite hit rock bottom, but fundamentally it needs to be rebuilt. What I mean by that is lots of different things. That's sort of more National A races. You know, could we get another UCI race on the calendar in the UK? Can people earn a living out of being a professional cyclist? Can the sport sustain careers for people in the UK? That's what I mean when I say that about the rebuilding, is can we get back to the good old days when the domestic race scene was healthy, where people could earn a good living from it, where actually it was almost a mini industry in itself, producing amazing economic outputs for itself as well as racing results. We're a far cry from that again at the moment. It would be great to start building back towards that, but you've got to build from somewhere, haven't you? It's not going to happen overnight. At least if there's a thriving B racing scene where development teams can get people used to road racing, riding in bunches, race strategy, all of these sorts of things, then that's got to be a good thing.
I mean, one thing we can be absolutely sure of is that the talent pipeline hasn't run dry. I mean, just a loop back for a moment to the tour series in Kisborough. I mean, Grace Lister from Brother UK Orientation Marketing, and Grace is also on the Junior Olympic Academy. You know, she crossed that gap to Sophie Lewis and Joe Tindley. It looked pretty easy for Grace, I've got to say. I'm sure it wasn't, but, you know, she's a very strong rider. Unfortunately, she crashed, you know, shortly after catching Joe and Sophie. She clipped a barrier, and I'm sure, you know, she'd be the first to admit that that's just inexperience, but wow, what a talent. It reminded me, Phil, a little bit of watching Anna Henderson a couple of years ago in the same jersey, terrorizing the more experienced riders. And, you know, talking of Anna, a couple of days before she won the prologue at the festival, Elsie Jacobs in the British National Time Trial Champions jersey. So, you know, we know that level of talent still exists. And, you know, wouldn't it be great if the economics come right to see young British cycling talent earning a living from their sport in this country?
Yeah, and that's the key point, actually, Tim. You know, yeah, a really impressive ride, actually. I was gutted to see her crash out at the Gisborough round. I thought she could have gone away with that group. Would have been a great experience for her and for the team too. But it sort of underpins a little bit what we've been trying to do with our overall sort of sponsorship strategy over the last few years, is by putting money into those teams at that level, which allow people to sort of jump up a level, if you like. So On Form is about a feeder team for Cams Basso, and Brother UK LDN, Ian Watson there is taking individuals right the way from never ridden a bike before to riding around Regent's Park, getting them involved in some bunch racing, then getting them in some local racing, all the way through to, hey, suddenly you could appear in the Tour Series. And that, for me, is the most important point, fundamentally. So when we look at some of these riders that have made it onto World Tour, Anna's a really good example of that, Anna Henderson, I mean, that actually it all starts by building experiences, and you need to sort of jump on these stepping stones to then make that next big move. So the domestic scene is still vitally important to develop riders like that, and also for teams to actually build their experiences in order that these shining lights can begin to emerge outside of BC track programs or Olympic development programs. So if you're not on one of those, how do you somehow show that you are a future talent? well, certainly on the TV cameras of the Tour Series over the coming seven stages, that's a pretty good place, in my opinion, for you to show your capability to a larger audience.
Let's look ahead now a little bit further into June. The Women's Tour will soon be upon us, and it looks like it's going to be a brilliant addition. They've got 14 teams signed up from the Women's World Tour and two British squads among the four UCI Continental teams that they've invited. And that's Lacolle Wahoo and Cams Basso, both teams that, you know, in previous incarnations have been sponsored by Brother UK. Now, the Women's Tour this year starts on Monday, June the 6th in Colchester, and it ends 6 days later in Oxford on Saturday, June the 11th. Other start and finish towns include Bury St Edmunds, Tewkesbury, Gloucester and Chipping Norton. But I think it's stages four and five, isn't it, that really catch the eye, the Welsh stages. I mean, particularly stage four, for example, that rolls right past our Brother Industries facility in Rhiwabon, and that is a brutally hard stage. And the following day finishes on Black Mountain. I don't think we need to say any more than that. I spoke to Andy Horsfield, the route director, a couple of weeks back, and his advice to the teams is bring your rouleurs, bring your climbers, and leave your sprinters at home. He told me, Phil, that stage four, that he reckons that's going to be the hardest stage in the history of the Women's Tour.
Yeah, funny. Andy sent me a pic, actually, of his team car actually outside our factory, which was very nice. And I was there about a week ago myself, wandering around that facility, which refurbishes and remanufactures cartridges, actually, that go into our laser printers. And I spoke with the managing director there, a colleague of mine, and just sort of said, right, what we've got to do, we've got to get this factory shut down when this race goes through. We need everyone out on the road out there cheering away in all their Brother livery as the riders go through. And he was like, yeah, that, you know, that sounds great. But yeah, Andy did say that that is going to be a very, very tough stage. And do you know what? I think actually the riders will like that. I genuinely do. I think they'll react well to that. The Women's Tour has a phenomenal reputation, we know, amongst the World Tour teams. They all love coming to the UK to race here because they get big crowds. I've got to give absolute credit to Sweet Spot, Hugh, Mick and all the guys behind the scenes there that put on a world-class race. And I don't just mean the route itself, which Andy designs. Mick and the team there put every effort into ensuring that everything behind the scenes is right up there in terms of the hotels that they use, the facilities that the riders have access to, you know, making sure the hotels have got enough car parking space and access to electric washing facilities. These are all things that we don't think about, but the race organisers do. And I know that Mick and his team there work ever so hard to really make it an amazing experience for the riders and the teams that visit. And I think that just ripples through, because when you go and talk to the rider, they all enjoy coming to this edition of the race. But if it gets hard, then I think actually there's some riders in that are going to go, bring it on. That's what we want. We want hard racing, and let the winner emerge. So I think it's going to be a cracking addition. I really do.
I mean, 100%. I was lucky enough to spend some time with the pro team a couple of years back. I was doing some work for a brand, and typically all of the interesting stuff is said once the tape recorder is turned off, when you're, you know, just hanging about in the car park. I won't name them because, you know, they're now two of the biggest riders in the sport. But, you know, I asked them, do you like coming to the UK? And they said, oh, yeah, you know, it's the Women's Tour. We, you know, we come every year for that. It's the best stage race on the calendar by miles. And, you know, what? Why can't every race be as well organised as the Women's Tour? And I think that's a huge testimony, you know, off the record, unprompted. But wow, you know, what a testimony to the work that goes on behind the scenes. And, you know, hat tip to you, Phil, for backing the race from the start. And at Brother UK, it's sponsored the Women's Tour since its inception back in 2014. We've been the official print and results partner since 2016. But this year we've expanded our commitment, I think, Phil. We're exploring a different pathway.
Yeah, we've added an additional asset to the portfolio this year. The company itself, Brother, globally, we've got big focus on what we call ESG, environmental and social governance. And I was chatting to the guys over at Sweet Spot about how we could sort of bring that to life effectively. So we decided to sponsor the litter zones effectively during the Women's Tour and the Tour of Britain. And the idea being that we want to see what can be done with regards to all the discarded rubbish and wrappers and all that kind of stuff. We're going to have obviously have that all that collected and just see how much of that can genuinely be recycled or repurposed. So we're going to make that our challenge actually in these two big editions to say what is possible. All these wrappers end up in bags. What do we know about where they go after that? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to go away. We're going to collect it all. We're going to take it to a specialized facility. And either we're going to see what can be recycled as a percentage, how much of it can be recycled properly, how much of it could be repurposed. And we may even take a few wrappers away and see whether they can be made into bits of art by local schools or something like that. In order that, we could almost be, could we get to a solution where there's zero waste? Could we get to a zero waste Women's Tour and Tour of Britain? Because the factory which the peloton is going to roll by is zero waste to landfill. And it's also a zero carbon facility. So I don't think we can solve the zero carbon part of the bike race, but we may be able to assist with the zero waste from the actual racing litter that's produced. We're going to have a go at that for the first time and see where we go.
Oh, wow. I mean, that is fantastic. I mean, very ambitious, of course, but then, you know, who better to take on the challenge than a business with two Queen's Awards for Enterprise and Sustainable Development on its palmarès? Now, we started this episode by talking about the Tour Series, so it probably makes sense to end on the same note. This year's grand finale, and I think this came even as a surprise to you, Phil, is going to be held in Brother UK's hometown. It's going to be in Manchester.
Yeah, so I think there was a late addition to the Tour Series, and that's absolutely brilliant news. So that will be, I think it's on the 24th of May, is it? I've made sure I'm working from the office that day in order that I can get into Manchester and see that final round. Unfortunately, this year, it's just the way that my schedule is working. I can't get to any of the rounds other than Manchester, which is a real shame because last year I managed to get to about four rounds, I think, of the Tour Series, sort of doing the tour to some degree following the race around. But it's just one of those things that the schedule didn't work this year. So I'm really looking forward to getting to Manchester, getting in the pits, you know, seeing a couple of our sponsored teams, meeting some of the riders. It's always nice to do that. And I'm sure Manchester will do it justice. If you remember when we had the Tour of Britain finishing in Manchester on Deansgate, you know, massive crowds came out for that. And so if we can really drum some big numbers up, it would be good to see that particular round of the Tour Series go out on a massive high.
Yeah, I remember standing with you on Deansgate watching Mathieu van der Poel sprint to victory in front of thousands of people. We even had sunshine, so let's hope we get a bit more of that. I think someone at Brother Phil has shared your diary with Sweet Spot and said, you know, Phil can't get along to too many rounds this year, and they've come back and said, well, you know, let's hold the grand finale in Manchester then.
If only, Tim. If only. I mean, I'm just genuinely pleased. You know, I've always maintained that for me, Manchester should be in the Tour Series every single year. I genuinely do. For a city the size of Manchester, the home of British cycling, the reality is that should be hosting around every single year without question. So I'm ever so pleased that we're going to see it again back in 2022. I think it'll be a brilliant round, hopefully really fast racing. I haven't seen the route yet. I'm looking forward to seeing what the course will be for that, because obviously I know a lot of the streets of Manchester like the back of my hand. And so once I can see that, then hopefully we can have another quick chat on a future pod, Tim, to see how that race might unfold.
Absolutely. Phil, thanks very much indeed for your time today. As ever, it feels like we've only scratched the surface, but you know, it's going to be a tremendous season. I think we've established that. Be sure to follow us, please, on social media. We're at Brother Cycling on all three channels. Thank you very much indeed, everybody out there listening. And with COVID sadly still with us, then do please stay safe.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.